Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. I said something in yesterday's episode, and afterwards I thought, why did I say that? Do I just get that vibe? Is there any proof to this? And what I said was that it feels like people are getting to a point where they are perhaps bored of the topic of climate change. That the amount that it's being talked about feels like it's decreasing. People aren't excited about trying to change it. And that since it requires sacrifice, it may be something that dwindles out from sort of the public's concern or issues. Today, I have a couple of sources, and I didn't go out searching for these. They just kind of came across my path that describe just that sentiment and that idea. So we'll dive into these reports, these articles. But first, I just got to say it is wild. You know, we are entering a time of what feels like climate change runaway. Like, it seems like there are so many changes happening so quickly that now and every day moving forward will be the most important days to understand what's happening with climate and the most important times to act. I mean, the most important times to act were in the past, but every day moving forward is the new most important day to act. So let's dive into this. The first is an article from grist.org, and this one is specific to the United States. We already know, we've already seen that the Republican Party in the United States has completely ignored, made every effort to destroy climate research, to put an end to climate research funding. They're destroying data. And most importantly, perhaps, they are doing away with any sort of pledges or efforts to reduce climate impacts. They are instead moving more towards the types of cheap energy that got us here in the first place. Well, what about Democrats? This article is titled, "Why Democrats Aren't Talking About Climate Change Much Anymore. Make way for the cheap energy agenda." It says nearly a year after the 2024 election, Democrats are still trying to figure out what went wrong. In the midst of this soul-searching, a new piece of advice has appeared: don't say climate change. That's the takeaway from a recent poll by the Searchlight Institute, a new Democratic think tank. Americans said they see climate change as a problem, but it's rarely one of their top issues. Voters in battleground states are more concerned with affordability and health care. But when asked which issue they think the Democratic Party prioritizes, climate change was number one. So this poll basically highlighted that when people were asked, what issue do you feel like the Democratic Party prioritizes as the number one issue, they said climate change. The Democratic Party is always talking about climate change. So the article says this mismatch might explain, at least in part, why Democrats often get portrayed as out of touch. Advocates and elected officials should understand that their messages are actively weakened by a focus on climate over affordability and low energy prices, and that voters are looking for immediate help with rising costs rather than solutions to abstract problems. This is, of course, another example of the tragedy of the commons, where each individual voter in this case, or each individual person who answered this poll, is concerned about their own immediate well-being, which is natural. To want to be able to afford to live. And so each individual respondent puts their priorities in response to the poll, and that sends a signal to Democrats that we should not be talking so much about climate change. We should be talking about the other issues, the immediate issues that are right on people's, you know, front doorstep today. And they're saying perhaps one of the reasons that we lost in 2024 to Donald Trump was because we focused too much on climate change, which people are not as upset about. Representative Sean Casten, an Illinois Democrat and longtime climate champion, says, quote, "There's no obvious electoral upside in being really smart on energy and climate policy. Polling doesn't tell you what you talk about, it tells you how you talk about it. Over the last decade, activists and organizations pushed Democratic politicians to take climate change seriously," the article says. "The youth-led Sunrise Movement rose to prominence as a force in climate politics in 2018, when activists stormed into House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office demanding a Green New Deal. They eventually succeeded in helping to elevate climate change in the party's platform.
Democrats even passed the country's most ambitious climate legislation, the Inflation Reduction Act, in 2022 to accelerate the adoption of clean energy through tax credits and incentives, a sweeping effort dismantled by Republicans this year. Later in the article, it says, in fact, it appears that climate change has already started to vanish from the national conversation well before Searchlight's poll came out. Media coverage of the topic has dropped roughly in half since 2023, according to Anthony Lisarowitz, the director of the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication. His group's polling has found that comparing to previous years, Americans say they are hearing less about climate change in the news, on social media, and from people they know. They're not seeking out as much information on their own either. There's been a sharp decline in Google News searches for climate change since 2023. There's a little chart here, and it shows that Google News search interest in climate change percent from January 2023, and it does look like in many cases there's between a 20 and 60% decrease week over week on the topic. Lisarowitz says the conclusion most people then will draw is that if nobody's talking about climate change, then it can't be that important. It's out of sight, out of mind. And yeah, I mean, when I think about what Democrats have talked about in the last couple of years, I can't think of a single time climate change has really come up. That said, Democrats aren't talking much now about anything other than how to perhaps stop Donald Trump. But even then, you don't hear much from them often. The whole party seems to have fallen apart, deer in a headlight sort of situation. But if this is any indication, then they have certainly turned their back almost entirely on the idea of advocating for climate change. If Republicans are ever again dethroned in the United States, this casts doubt on whether or not there is any hope for moving back in the direction of climate change action in the future. Okay, now what about the rest of the world? The second thing that we're going to look at here is the State of Climate Action Report for 2025. This is looking at things from a global scale. It comes from an organization called Systems Change Lab. It's a conglomerate of different research think tanks around climate change. And it's a 140-page report, an analysis on the action that's being taken towards stopping climate change. So it's not so much about how the climate is changing. There are other reports for that. This is to say, how are countries reacting? Are they keeping their pledges? That sort of thing. The report uses 45 indicators to assess the actions that countries are taking. And I'm going to read here some of the outcomes, some of what they found. Halfway through the middle of what the climate community has dubbed the decisive decade, urgency is fading. Vested interests in maintaining the status quo are playing defense as strongly as ever, and complacency is on the rise. This past year saw a troubling backsliding of action precisely when the world needed it most. The international solidarity that led to the Paris Agreement a decade ago has weakened, with countries facing roadblocks at the negotiating table that are stifling progress when it's more important than ever. In many major economies, primarily those with large oil and gas reserves, entrenched fossil fuel interests continue to exert powerful political influence, stymieing climate ambition and action. Geopolitical tension, trade wars, substantial cuts to development aid, and wealthy countries' failure to meet existing climate finance commitments have further eroded the foundation for global cooperation on climate change. In a particularly notable development this year, the world's second largest emitter and largest historical emitter, the United States, has scaled back climate policies and programs, reduced the scope of environmental agencies, and discontinued long-standing investments in climate science and decarbonization measures. Global greenhouse gas emissions continue to climb, intensifying climatic changes and impacts that are already more severe and widespread than anticipated. That about summarizes the situation on a global scale. Some of the highlights, it says, while progress is heading in the right direction for most of the 45 indicators assessed, none are on track to achieve 2030 targets compatible with this temperature goal. And by the way, this report is still using the 1.5 degrees Celsius temperature goal. We talked yesterday about how Antonio Guterres had said, we are not going to hit 1 point, or we're not going to stay below 1.5. It's not possible anymore. But he did talk about how we can still seek to hit an emissions level that could bring us back to 1.5, or the targeted emissions level that would have kept us at 1.5. So that's the numbers that this report is using. Okay, so it's saying that for the 45 indicators assessed, none are on track to achieve the 2030 targets compatible with a temperature goal. The pace of change is promising, albeit too slow, for 6 of the indicators, and at well below the required speed for another 29. For 5, trends are heading in the wrong direction entirely, and data was insufficient to evaluate the remaining 5. talks about how there are several bright spots, underscoring that rapid change is possible. Private climate finance has increased sharply, shifting from well off track to just off track. Solar is the fastest growing power source ever, and nascent innovations like green hydrogen saw meaningful one-year gains. Yet such positive changes have occurred alongside far more troubling trends. For electric vehicle sales, the only indicator previously on track, growth slowed, such that progress is now off track for 2030. Efforts to reduce coal-fired power and deforestation remain well off track for multiple installments in a row. And even consistent year-on-year growth in renewables is not enough, as with each passing year, the pace of change needed to get on track for 2030 increases. Lastly, it says, an enormous acceleration in effort is needed across every sector. By 2030, for example, electricity generated from unabated gas needs to be phased out 7 times faster. Declines in deforestation need to accelerate 9-fold, and growth in total climate finance needs to increase 4 times faster. So then the report highlights that every year that we miss our goals, this increases the rate at which we have to make changes going into the future. However, as it said in the executive summary, urgency is fading. Vested interests in maintaining the status quo are playing defense, and complacency is on the rise. So again, I reiterate that at a time when this is most epically important, at a time when we are just starting to see that we are breaching tipping points, that feedback loops are accelerating, there is this sort of apathy, not just by the general population, but by those previously promising to make changes. Lofty goals were set 10 years ago, and those goals have failed. And from that, it's concerning to see that perhaps the response is going to be, oops, we didn't reach our goals, and so therefore, we should perhaps just give up. Because hey, by the way, we've got so many other issues to deal with. There's the immediacy of dealing with the metaphorical and literal fires to be put out, right? Which, hey, by the way, are being caused by climate change. There's reaction that needs to happen to intensified hurricanes and droughts and famines, which, hey, by the way, are a consequence of climate change. There's the reactionary responses to geopolitical tensions, to internal political tensions, to conflicts, to economic disasters, which, hey, by the way, are at least in part being caused by climate change. So as climate change worsens, all of the other effects will worsen, and we will continue to be reactionary to those. We will continue moving from fire to fire, doing our best to extinguish them. Meanwhile, the source of that fire is accelerating because we've given up on it. Now, that's not to say that at this point in time, we can officially declare the fight against climate change dead, but it's dying, and it will have to be determined over the following years whether or not there's any fight left or if this trend continues. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.